This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Got on your head, that's coming off. They don't care nothing about your name being Fatima, Salima, or whatever it is. They don't care nothing about that. You know. You know exactly what I'm saying. It might already have happened. Yet the goods might already be damaged. Because this is the real world you're living out here. This is no plaything. Sis, if you go out here without your hijab on, you go out here hanging out with these kafirs, these kafir girls, hanging out in these places, you want to do a little shake, a little dance, you want to get under the little lights and hear a little tune or whatever it is, they're going to get you. After that, you feel disgraced. You feel ashamed. Now you don't know how to get back. And then some of y'all wind up, you made a mistake, you can't even get it back, now you're pregnant. What you going to do now? Now you got to go to one of them clinics. You can't tell your family about it, so what you got to do now? You got to go to one of them clinics, get an abortion. You got to kill a baby. Now you got murder on your hands. You done killed somebody. First you went out and disgraced yourself, now you got to kill somebody. Or kill a baby, that is. If you don't kill the baby, now what you do? You bring the baby home. What is it? It's a bastard. A little sweet, pretty little bastard. Now that's not a curse. It's a curse what you did, but the word is not a curse. It's in the dictionary. That's what it is. It's an illegitimate child. It's a child that's born out of wedlock. Isn't that the definition of it? Now sure, your mother and your father, they're going to get attached to the little baby. They're going to feed the baby and raise the baby up for you and all that, but you done brought shame home. And this is what's happening to our young girls. And this is what's happening to the young brothers. And the young brothers the same way, they're not getting pregnant, but they impregnate. They hitting and jumping out somewhere. See, all of this comes about from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see, the young brothers, the young sisters, they're not going to prison, most of them, because they're not gonna rob nobody, the sisters. The sisters is gonna wind up in a prison of disgrace, living with a kafir, raising a little baby kafir, living like a kafir. So they living in a prison of disgrace. But the young brothers who want to sell drugs, want to rob people, you're going to wind up, brother, in a prison of disgrace, or you wind up in prison. And if prison ain't enough for you, you're going to wind up in the hospital. And if that ain't enough for you, eventually you're going to wind up dead, in the grave, disgraced, punished in the grave. And then when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you got some more fire coming to you. Now this is the choice that we have. The choice that you have, young Muslims, is to be young Muslims. Now let's talk about what it means to meet this challenge. Let me read you one little short hadith. A little short one, because I don't want to read no long one. Because I don't want nobody to leave. And I don't want nobody to get no attitude now, because I'm talking to me. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Khalid. Don't get no attitude with me, because we're just talking here. We're just kicking it live. That's all we're doing. We're just keeping it real. We're just giving it back and forth so we can see what the picture looks like, so we can decide what we want to do. We can make a choice to either meet the challenge or go on down that road that you know where you're going to wind up at. That's all we want to talk about. And it's all your choice. There ain't going to be no twisting arms. Ain't nobody going to point no fingers. Ain't nobody going to blame nobody, call nobody no names. Because after this here, if Khalid see you in the street, all I'm going to see you as a young Muslim. How you feel? Assalamu alaikum. What's going on? How you feel? You all right? Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. I ain't going to say, man, wasn't you at that meeting I taught that day? No, I'm not going to do that. Because it's a choice that you're going to make yourself, especially those of you that's 13 years old and older. Now, for those that's younger, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's your fathers and your older brothers. They're going to guide you the right way. The elders and the moms, they're going to guide you the right way. You just listen good what I'm saying. Use that younger than 13. But those that are 13 and older, you better think real carefully about what I'm telling you tonight or this afternoon. Because if you don't listen to this, you ain't going to listen to nothing. Because your mothers and fathers and uncles and aunts and the elders here in the masjid, they're going to kick it like this. And when we get outside in the masjid, I got something else to tell you I'm not even going to say here. because I got 11 children. I grew up in Brooklyn. Bed-Stuy, do or die. Y'all know Bed-Stuy. Harlem, New York. I ain't like no little... What is this area here called?
Pittsmore.
Huh?
Pittsmore.
Pittsmore. Man, this is like a Disneyland. Man, y'all think y'all some gangsters. I need to take a couple of y'all back to Brooklyn. So, I'm telling you, brothers, for real. Y'all got it sweet. You got a chance, really. My sons and daughters and other sons and other brothers and sisters that I've known for the last 20 years that I've raised up, they'll tell you what New York is, for real. But brothers and sisters, let me just give you this little small hadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A man asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'll just give it to you in English. His name was Sufyan ibn Abdullah. He was also known as Abdullah Abi Amra. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Kulli Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Kulli في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيره. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم كل آمنت بالله ثم استقم. A man asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, tell me something about Islam that I can ask of no one but you. Listen to what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told him. He said, say I believe in Allah, and after that be upright. See, this is the main thing. Be prepared to say to whoever that you meet, I'm a Muslim. And I don't do that. I'm a Muslim. I'm not into that. I don't do those things, man. I don't talk that way. Don't talk like that around me. Don't invite me to that. Or go about your way. Do what you do. I do what I do. I'm a decent Muslim. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm looking down the road at my future. I got respect for my family. I got respect for myself. When you see a kafir talking to a sister he ain't supposed to be, or a sister talking to a kafir, you're supposed to talk to them. Tell that kafir to step off. He'd be better off if he step off. Tell him that. That's my sister. Don't have to be your blood sister. It's a Muslim sister. Just tell that kafir, you'd be better off if you step off. And tell the sister, sister, you ain't got no fear of Allah? You got no respect for your family? You got no respect for yourself? Fear Allah, sis, and then go on about your business. That's all you can do. Because it's a free country out here, they call it. Free country, free to do anything you want to do. Say, I believe in Allah. That means be straightforward Muslim. Don't hide Islam. Don't be no sideward Muslim. Don't be no Muslim in secret. Be straight up Muslim. Anybody ask you? Tell them your name. Tell them your religion. Tell them about the religion. Invite them to it. And after that, have good conduct. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I have been sent with what? To perfect good manners. To perfect good manners. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in another hadith, very short one. First, let me just talk about what do we do if we want to make the right choices. I'll give that hadith the last one before I leave. If we want to make the right choices, how do we do it? If we want to change our life, how do we do it? If we want to be a good Muslim, how do we do it? If we want to earn the mercy of Allah, how do we do it? If we want the forgiveness of Allah, how do we do it? If we want respect, how do we do it? If we want our dignity back, how do we do it? The first thing you need to do is, all of us, the old or the young, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Kulu ibn Adam khata, wa khayru khata'in tawabin. said all the children of Adam make mistakes. And the best of those that make mistakes are those who do what? They make tawbah. They come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ittaqillah haythu ma kuntum watbi'i sayya'a bil hasana tamhuha wa khaliqin nas bi khuluqin hasanin. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fear Allah, be mindful of Allah wherever you are. That means under all circumstances, in the school, on the job, in the street, in the masjid, at home, when you're by yourself, fear Allah, be mindful of Allah. But if you make a mistake, he said what? وَاتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ. Follow up a bad deed with a good one. تَمْهُهَا, that will cancel that bad deed out. The good deed will cancel out the good one, the bad one. Now he's not talking about kabair, because a good deed is not going to cancel out a kabair, a major sin. A major sin is only wiped out by what? Tawbah. You got to come back to Allah. You got to cry to Allah. You got to make two raka'ah. Ask Allah for repentance. Ask Him to change your life, change your heart, change your mind, change your conduct. And then you got to swear to Allah and yourself, you're not going back that way no more. You can't make tawbah today and get up tomorrow and smoke another spliff, drink another bottle of wine, lay down with another girl, rob somebody else tomorrow, and make tawbah again. You can't do that. Allah doesn't accept that. He only accepts it when it has ikhlas, sincerity. So what do we do? First, make tawbah. Come back to Allah, young Muslims. Come back to Allah, older Muslims. Because here, everything I'm saying here, I'm not just really talking to the young people, because a lot of what I'm saying here, the young people are the way they are because there's people that's in this room here who have set a pattern for the young people. There's some older people that's in here that have been here, but been in the UK for 20 years. And the young boys saw them on the corners. The young boys saw them out there. The young boys see they got stores. They selling haram. They doing haram. They saw them as they was growing up, said, well, if my uncle did it, I can do it. If my father did it, I can do it. So many of the young people that's here is in the condition they in because the older people did it before they did it. So I don't want to be like I'm beating up on the young folks, because I'm not. I'm just in a, what we call, this is called a ricochet. Ricochet, you know what that means. It just bounce off and come back to you. So there's many of us, old heads, 50 years old, 45, 40, 35, 30, we doing, still doing some of the stuff I'm talking to about the young people. Still doing. But see, that's an old criminal. And that's an old fool. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the worst of fornicators and sinners is the old one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate an old fornicator more than he do a young one. Because an old fornicator, he ain't even got no real reason to be fornicating no more. He just fornicating because it's a habit. He ain't even got the fire no more. He got to find a way to do that. That means he's been doing it for a long time. So, young people, I understand that many of you fell into this situation, or you were led into this situation, or you were allowed into the situation. See, that's something wrong too. That your mothers and your fathers, they allowed you. Or you were led into it by an older brother or older sister or uncle. But nevertheless, you're responsible. And I'm telling you, you got to make tawbah. The way you want to correct yourself, go home and take a bath tonight. Because you're going to die tomorrow. One of these tomorrows you're thinking that you're going to wake up, you're going to die. Or one of these things that you're doing is wrong, somebody's going to put a bullet in your head or a knife in your back. You're going to be stretched out. You ain't got no choice then. You're going right where you used to hang. And seek good company. If you make tawbah, you can't make tawbah and go back out in the same company. You can't do that. That's just like having dirty clothes on, taking a bath and putting on the same dirty, stinking clothes. It don't make sense. You don't wash those clothes for a week. Now you decide to take a bath and you go all clean and everything, put on the same clothes. Them clothes almost standing up without a hanger. Don't make sense. Make tawbah, and then after that, seek good company. Find a young Muslim that's praying. Find a young Muslim that at least he's talking right. A young Muslim that fear Allah, talking about Allah, talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Find a young Muslim like that to be with. In the school, look for a young Muslim, a decent young Muslim to hang with. Don't look for no fool. When you see them fools, avoid them. Find a young Muslim that believe in Allah, a decent young Muslim, a pious young Muslim, a knowledgeable young Muslim, a sensible young Muslim. Leave them Kafirs alone altogether. I'd hang out with a foolish Muslim before I hang out with a Kafir. A foolish Muslim, at least he's Muslim. A Kafir, he can't even lead you to the mosque. He ain't gonna say, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, Astaghfirullah. Nothing. A foolish Muslim, every now and then, he gonna say Astaghfirullah, he gonna say La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, he gonna say Quran or something. But a Kafir, he ain't gonna lead you to nothing but the trash. Next thing is, make up your mind to do something with your life. If you're in school, stay in school and be the best. If you're in school, stay in school and be the best. If you fail in school, you're going to fail the rest of your life. I'm telling you right now. If you fail in school and that's all right, you're going to fail the rest of your life and you ain't going to get no job. They ain't hiring nobody. First of all, people that's got college degrees can't get no job. That's right or wrong. There's people in here right now that's got a college degree that can't get a job. So now you know if you dropped out of grade school, you through. You dropped out of high school, you over. You ain't getting nothing. You got nothing coming to you. You're going to live in council houses. You're going to be on welfare the rest of your life. If you're in school, excel. Don't accept no D's and C's or 60s and 70s. A Muslim in school with these Kafirs is supposed to be at the top of his class. The Kafir is supposed to be asking the Muslim, listen, you got that homework? Can you help me out with the test? That's the Kafir is supposed to ask the Muslim that, because the Muslim is supposed to be the best. Whatever he's doing, the Muslim is the best. Come back to your deen, come back to the masjid. Come back to the deen. Come back to the masjid. That's what you got to do. Come back to this deen. This deen is where you're safe. Deen is where your dignity is at. Where it's decent. Where your reputation is going to be sound. Where you're going to get some knowledge and some guidance. Where you're going to be stabilized. Come back to the masjid. Because this is where you're going to come when you die. You're going to come back here anyway now. You're going to come back here while you're living, or you're going to come back here when you die. So you might as well come back. Come on back home. Come to the masjid. Come on in the masjid once a day. It makes a lot. No matter what you're doing, come in the masjid. Make your wudu. Makes a lot. If you got to go make a ghusl, go home. Make a ghusl. Come to the masjid. Makes a lot. Because if you keep coming to the masjid making a lot, what's going to happen is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you enough ammunition to stop doing them sins you're doing. But if you say to yourself, well, since I'm committing sins, ain't no sense coming to the masjid, you're done then. Don't let no Muslim tell you, man, since you out there doing wrong, ain't no sense. I don't know why you coming to the mosque. You know, a Muslim might tell you that. Akhi, look, I know what you be doing, man. What you doing in the masjid? Tell them, I'm in the masjid doing the same thing you're doing. Asking Allah for forgiveness, asking Allah for guidance, asking Allah to accept my prayer, asking Allah to make me strong so I can stop doing some of the stuff I'm doing, little by little, day by day. Because ain't none of you brothers and sisters that strong that you're going to stop doing all the stuff you're doing overnight. I didn't. I took Shahada in 1964, the brother, he told you that. But the first time I prayed five times a day, I didn't care about no five times a day. I didn't even know the Muslims was really doing that until about 1968. But in those days, there were no masjids. There were no masjids like this. I heard that the Muslims were supposed to pray five times a day when I took Shahada, but I didn't think nobody was really praying five times a day. I thought they was like making dua five times a day. But in 1968, I came and saw some brothers praying five times. I said, do you brothers get together like this every day? He looked at me like I was crazy. I said, how long you been Muslim? I said, about 5 years. They said, get together like this every day? We pray five times. I said, for real? Then it took me, after 1968, about 3 more years to get my salat together, mashallah. So what do you think from 1964 until 1972, what do you think I was doing? I'm not going to make no confessions. But you know, if I know all the stuff I'm talking about, that I didn't stop doing it right away, so you know I know. So you ain't going to fool me now that we talk. We're going to talk a little bit outside too. So I'm telling you, you're not going to stop overnight. Said, but I don't think I can stop smoking no weed. I said, well, man, look, be Muslim, man. And just, you know, smoke a half a joint. Every day, just smoke a little less of that joint. See? And then after that, then smoke a joint every other day. And don't do it around nobody. Go way out somewhere by yourself. Like, walk about a mile away, somewhere in the dark, and smoke a half a joint and sneak it. Then put some eye drops in your eyes and some lifesavers and all that. Do all that. So what you're doing is you're building up in your mind that it's wrong. And so gradually, once you establish in your heart that it's wrong, then you're going to stop doing it. So I'm not telling the man to keep doing it. I didn't tell him to keep doing it. He said he didn't want to be Muslim and feel like a hypocrite. What did I tell him to do? Be Muslim. And then gradually stop doing what you're doing wrong. Because if you're Muslim, you're going to come to the prayer. You're going to read Quran. You're going to listen to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You're going to be with the Muslims. You're going to fast during the month of Ramadan when it comes. So gradually what's going to happen is you're going to get the ammunition. You're going to get the strength day by day to stop doing some of the wrong that you're doing. But be Muslim. So I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, already Muslim, don't flip over overnight. Don't fool yourself. But start today. Come back to the deen. Give up the crime and give up the criminals. Change your image and change your role models. Change your image and change your role models. Correct your relationship with your parents. Don't wait for your parents to break down and cry and tell you they're sorry, even though maybe they did something wrong. Don't wait for them to tell you they're sorry. No. You are the one they fed. You are the one they raised. You are their child. You living in their house. You are the young person. You go to your mother and father and you cry and you tell them that you're sorry, and then you begin to correct your behavior and do something good for your parents. So if you don't do something good for your parents, you don't obey your parents, something going to happen to you. Like that young boy in Surah Al-Kahf. Y'all read Surah Al-Kahf? Read Surah Al-Kahf and see about that young boy who was disobedient and ungrateful and rebellious to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how Allah felt about that young man. Allah killed him, put him in the ground, just like that, and replaced him, and told his parents, told Musa alayhi salam to Khidr, that his parents would be more pleased with him. Don't be like him. Don't wait for something to happen to you because of your disrespect and disobedience to your parents. Correct your relationship with your parents. Correct your relationship with the Muslims. So you can walk past the masjid, stop in, and your head is up high. You ain't got to be ducking. You can be around this neighborhood, and you take care of the neighborhood. And those criminals, those animals all around the neighborhood, disrespecting, breaking in, when they see you, they be ducking and dodging. Correct your relationship. Understand what it means to be decent. Understand what it means to be dignified. Respect. those three words, decent, dignified, respect. Understand what that means, because if you don't know what it means, you're way off. You're way off. Understand that you are the future of Islam, you young Muslims. You are the future. All these old people and myself. Maybe I don't look as old because I got that henna in my beard. The Prophet liked that, subhanAllah. He liked the henna, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if I didn't have that henna, I'd be just as white as some of the other Muslim men here. I put that henna in here so you young boys don't push up on me. Yeah. Understand, you young brothers and sisters, you are the future. 20 years from now, Brother Khalid won't be here. Some of these old brothers won't be here. Some of the young brothers will be here, be the imams and be the leaders. Y'all be in the front rank, taking over. Take this whole neighborhood over. But all these young Muslims in this neighborhood, if y'all were soldiers, y'all come back to this deen, you take this whole area. This whole area. I ain't talking about the little complex. I'm talking about the whole area. Spittle Hill, Spitmore, Pittsmore, whatever it is. Take over this whole town. All these young Muslims on this side of town, another side of town, you take the whole place over. Because nobody can do nothing with a Muslim if he's straight. They get this town to us, this little bean town. This is a little bean town. This ain't even no big city. If the Muslims in this city stood up and did what they're supposed to do and identify themselves and establish this deen and establish this dawah, you young Muslims here, you could give 100 shahadas next week and 100 shahadas every week after that. After you start giving shahadas all around here, all the young brothers that have wives and all the young sisters that have husbands. All these non-Muslims around here, they would know what Islam is. Even if they didn't accept Islam, they would know what it is. Correct your relationship with your parents. Understand what is decent, dignified, and respectful. Understand that you are the future of Islam. Prepare yourself to be productive and responsible. Prepare yourself to take your place in the society. Don't prepare yourself to be holding up no buildings. Prepare yourselves to be responsible. Take your place in the society. Take your place in the Muslim community. Become responsible. Be young men. Be young women. Be dignified. Be strong. Be soldiers. Oh, young Muslims. Remember, I told you. My advice might be a little bit harsh to a certain extent, but the best deal comes from the hottest fire. I'm talking to you because I love you, because I'm concerned about you. That's why I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you because I see myself right there. I see my own children, my nephews, right there. I'm talking to you because I want to see you start from a zero to a hero. I want to see you get past those stumbling blocks and make them into stepping stones. I want to see you move from and give up the trash and take hold of that treasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. What's the treasure? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Oh, young Muslims, be soldiers for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be soldiers for shaitan. Be soldiers for Allah. Respect yourself. Respect Islam. Respect your community. Respect your family. Oh, young Muslims, meet the challenge. Make the right choices. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you and to guide you. We ask Allah to give you strength. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer your dua. We ask Allah to bless your families. We ask Allah to bless the masjid and give strength to the imam and all the young brothers around who are setting the right examples. We ask Allah to bless and guide all the young brothers and sisters who are striving to keep this deen clean. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them faith and Allah to give them knowledge. We ask Allah to make their identity strong. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to call the young brothers and sisters back to this masjid so you got to build a bigger one from the ground up. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He join all our hearts in love. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Islamic Teaching Institute can become instrumental to bind with Masjid Taqwa, so we can get all these young Muslims, build them up, make them into soldiers, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we create 50,000 Muslims in the city of Sheffield in the next 10 years. 50,000. Yeah, what they do with us then.
Yeah, the sister says again, Assalamu alaikum, and she says, brother, do you think that giving teenagers the freedom, access to internet, TV, and all the things like it is wrong?
Yeah, I will answer this question very straightforward. I'll say this, that if a parent wants to kill his children, the easiest way is just leave a loaded gun on the table and let them play with it. Sooner or later, they will blow their brains out. The other way that you can do it is just leave them in the house with the internet and the television. They will burn their brains out. Burning the brains out is slower, so it's a slower death. So if a parent allows their children to watch television without any supervision, if a parent allows their children just to go on the internet and use it without any restrictions, then that parent is going to come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being irresponsible and for contributing towards fahsha and munkar. Because if your son or daughter watches 4 hours of television a day, only 4 hours, I'll give you the statistics, only 4 hours a day in the course of a year, they have watched 73,000 acts of fahsha and munkar, including fornication, adultery, murder, slander, drinking, drugging, all kinds of foul actions that they saw on TV. Now, so if you just want to let your children do that, that's up to you. But no, you shouldn't. It's wrong. The parents need to take control of those televisions. And the parents need to restrict the children's use of the internet. Because the parents should know that even those of us who are careful, every time I go in and check my email, I got about 30 or 40 emails, and 20 of them, y'all know what it is, I can't even stop it. Sometimes I'm trying to delete the email and it just pop up anyway. You know what I'm talking about. You can't stop it. The pornography. You can't even stop it. You don't even have to ask for it.
Yeah. Again, another sister says, brother, if you are friends with someone who does not do anything like drugs or alcohol but are not Muslims, is it wrong to be friends with them?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your friends are none other than Allah, His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the believers. We don't have no kafir friends. Ain't no such thing as a kafir friend. Ain't no such thing as a kafir friend. That's like a good snake. That's like sweet poison. It don't even exist. Oh, I didn't say you couldn't have decent relationships with non-Muslims. You could have a decent relationship with business, academic, going to school, neighbors, co-workers, you know, colleagues in the school or whatever. Yeah, you can have a decent relationship, but not intimacy, not friendship. We don't trust, and we don't enter into friendships of reliability, because what you'll do then is you will start to absorb some of their values, because you will believe that you trust them and that they trust you. No, we don't have no kafir friends. Especially sisters. Be especially careful, sister, because you are more delicate. You are more sacred. You are more pure. You are more sensitive even than the brothers. So don't think to yourself that you got no kafir friends, because even an innocent kafir.
Again, this is another question from sisters. It says, are all small girls, are small girls allowed to play with small boys?
Well, you know, I think in a Muslim society, generally, generally in a Muslim society where the children are affected by the morals of Islam and by the parents, there's no harm in boys and girls playing until they're the age of 7. But when they're the age of 7, the Prophet ﷺ said, even sisters and brothers, don't let them sleep together no more. They're sisters and brothers in the same house. So now we in America, we in the UK now. UK, little kids going to school with drugs. Little kids going to school with, I saw a little kid on the other day on a bus stop with a cell phone. Little kids shooting people. Little kids stealing, cursing. Little kids talking about sex. They don't even know what it is, but they talking about it. Dancing just like the people in the movies. So now think about it. A little young boy that your little Salima, little Fatima, she playing in the backyard with some little boy that's 7, and some little yardie. He cursing, he filthy. He almost a criminal already. He talking to her like those little boys is talking on the videos, because he done memorized the videos. Now imagine your little Fatima at his house. Now do you think that your little Fatima should be in the house with little JoJo? I don't think so. No, I say I would advise not. I would advise us to keep our young girls at home and keep them where you can see them. And let them, when them little capers come around, let them run away. Let them run back inside the house and run away. Teach those young girls early that when the capers come around, they will run away. Because if they don't run away when they're young, they ain't going to run away when they're old.